You may be seated this morning as the children are dismissed. And the last few weeks we've been talking about the faith as we're coming to the end of the book of Acts. And we've seen such great dynamic faith of the Apostle Paul, although it didn't begin that way because he was a persecutor of the church. He was a murderer. And you can see in time how his confidence and faith grew in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same for us as well, is that we grow and grow and grow in our confidence in God and our faith in Him. And I want to talk to you today about shaking it off. And what I'm talking about shaking it off is the doubt and the darts that the enemy fires at us. And trusting God until the end, exactly what Paul the Apostle did. You would think that after being shipwrecked, after tossed around on the sea, I mean, we're talking about major typhoons and things that they were thrown around in the ship. And then they finally land on this island in safety. And the first thing that happens is Paul gets bit by a venomous snake. Now, I don't know about you, I would say, man, after going through that rough ride in the boat, now this. But Paul didn't skip a beat. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. This undying trust, this undying faith in God that is going to get us through. Now, our sister Sandy shared about the power of God through prayer. And you know, although things like chocolate, there's nothing wrong with chocolate, but Sandy is in it all the way to give up, to make sure that there's nothing that's controlling her life but Jesus. Nothing that's working but the power of Christ in her life. So she's going the extra mile with a few things. And there's no laws or rules in the Bible. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. But when we have a passion for Jesus Christ, we have a faith for Him, is that we want to make sure that He is our only Master, that He's our only Savior. So I want to invite you to pick up in Acts chapter 28. And if you don't have Bibles, I encourage you to turn to the Bibles in the pews in front of you. If you have text and things coming in on your phone, I would encourage you to just turn that off and mute that and only pull out the Word of God today and pay attention to what God says. After we were brought safely through, when we learned that the island was called Malta, the native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and it was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or to suddenly fall down dead, but when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island called Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases along also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put us on board whatever we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Regium, and after 1 day a south wind sprung, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. As we work our way through the book of Acts, we find in chapters 1 through 7, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you'll be my witnesses Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Chapters 1 through 7 was Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12 was Judea and Samaria. And Acts 13 to 28, as we wrap up in the capital of the end of the earth, which is Rome, he ends up preaching the gospel there, and God said he was going to go there, and God brought him there through storms. Now, as we go through the book, I don't know if you've noticed the pagans, and when Paul was standing before the courts, they were indecisive, right? They couldn't make up their minds about Paul. They didn't know what to do with him. But Paul had a steady progress of getting the gospel to Rome and going all the way to Rome. You notice that there was fear in a lot of these leaders, but Paul had a faith that override his fear. And there was turmoil on the ship while they were being tossed around, but Paul had this inner peace because he was a man that learned to have faith and trust in God. He was a man that learned to shake it off, just as he did with the snake. And that's what I want to talk to you today. Some of us are going to encounter things in our life that are difficult, things that are very real, things that may not go away. Paul couldn't make the coldness and the ship and the beatings. And keep in mind, remember, he was going into towns and he was rejected by his own people. He was beaten in one town. That didn't go away. But what caused this man to keep moving forward, no matter what came against him, is because he learned to trust God and shake it off. He believed what God said above what was happening around him. Now, there are some keys that we can learn here today about shaking off doubt. Anybody in here ever doubt? Okay. Anyone just in here just lied about not doubting? We've all faced doubt in our lives, and we all face these agonizing moments where we go through difficulties. So I want to observe from the life of Paul, first of all, when we pick up in verse 1 and 2, one of the things that we can do is look at what God has done in the past. Paul just came through a bad shipwreck. They weren't supposed to set sail in the wintertime. They did it anyways. Paul warned him, and then they went anyways, but God brought them to safety on this island. So one of the keys to shaking off doubt is to not only look in the past lives of the saints in the Scripture, but what God has done in your life in the past. Observe that He's already proven Himself faithful. And I don't think there's anyone in this world, or maybe in this room, that could say that God hasn't intervened at all in my life. God hasn't brought me where I'm at right now because of His grace and mercy. And so observe, number one, how God has already proven Himself. So you want to kick doubt out, you want to shake off the serpent, is learn how to look what God is doing. What has God done to bring you where you are today? I want you to think about that for a moment. What has God done in your life to bring you where you are right here, right now? Now have a party in your mind, because that's what drives away doubt and fear. And the next question is, how is God providing for you right now? As Americans, we take for granted and forget about how much God blesses us and gives us. And one of the things, and I had shared before, and I know this is a common thing, when we went to visit Tanya's homeland and went to Mama's hometown, her village, which is out in a rural area. They didn't have big factories and jobs and things like that, so they had to literally live off the land. And so anything they could find, they would collect. They were very neat. They would lay it in piles. And one of her relatives, we went to his house, and he was just so loving and giving and generous because he was so grateful for what he had. But yet to us, it seemed like he had nothing. He had some pigs. He had piles of metal. And he had this plow. It wasn't automated. It wasn't a tractor. It was one of those things that would have the plow, and you go along behind it and you push it, and it brings up the grass and all that kind of thing. And he said to me, anything you see you can have, even this plow, which was his most prized and expensive possession. That taught me gratitude for the provisions that God is in. Look at what God has done in his life. He had some favorite t-shirts that he would get at the auction. He said, "Here, I want you, Mike, to have one." He gave me one of his favorite t-shirts. Just a black tank top. You want to beat doubt? You want to beat fear? Look what God has given to us. Look where He's brought us. Number two, look what Paul did. He carried on his daily ministry and he didn't stop to fret. In verse 3, after this shipwreck, I don't know about you, but I would have been tossing my lunch and everything else. And when I finally floated on that board in the cold water in the middle of the winter, I would be sitting down in a corner shaking like this. But what did Paul do? He said, "This is not going to stop me." He went to gather firewood and the natives started to build a little fire there and he went to help them do that. A lot of times we give in to our fears and we give in to the doubts in our life because we stop and somehow the devil gets us, he tricks us, and he paralyzes us and keeps us from serving the Lord. He keeps us from persevering even though we're going through some difficult struggles in our life. See, a person that trusts God is not paralyzed by their difficult circumstances, but they keep right on going. Some of the people that inspire us greatly. I know one of the latest, well, it's not the latest, last year's America's Got Talent. There was a young man who played the violin. He has a disease in his hands and his whole body is eventually going to become numb. But man, he was the best violin player that I could ever see. And in spite of the numbness in his hands, he was playing his hardest and his best, you know, to the glory of God, whether he believes in God or not. Anything that God creates as music and things like that are for His glory. But He didn't let His circumstances paralyze us. If even people in the world overcome obstacles like that, and we read stories on the news all the time, they keep going without a leg or without arms and things like that. How much more should we who have the living Savior have faith in God to not be paralyzed by our circumstances but continue to serve? You know, one church I had pastored in Michigan, there was a man that had cancer. It was always all over his face, and so he always had to have pieces of skin removed. He was in pain, boy, all the time. But he would drag himself into Sunday morning worship every week. In spite of that, and I can't, man, how that just touched my heart. There's little things I complain about. He had such a faith in God that even to the end, until his death, he had such a strong belief and he still tried to serve and bless other people's lives. A person that trusts God focuses on the task at hand, and that's exactly what Paul did. He was gathering sticks. He says, "Okay, guys, we got to warm up. It's cold. We just took a dip in the drink in the middle of winter, and these guys are helping us, so I'm going to help build the fire. This is what's important now, is to get warm." So a person that trusts God perseveres in helping and serving others in any situation. How about you? Will you be challenged to develop that kind of faith in your life? You know, we can look around and compare ourselves to others. Say, "Well, look, I mean, that person's fairly healthy. What do they have room to talk?" And we see like people like Joni Erickson Tada, who had a swimming accident, was paralyzed from the neck down, and prayed for healing over and over and over and over. And somehow God said, "No, not right now, not right now." And she has a worldwide ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ because of her perseverance. She didn't let that stop her. She goes around with her little wheelchair, paralyzing it down, and speaks the power of Jesus' name. You can too. Number three. Look to God and don't let the enemy be bigger than he really is. And so, on this island, there were some snakes. We don't know what kind of snakes they exactly were, but we know it was venomous because the people on the island, according to this passage, were pretty well aware of it. They expected Paul to go into these convulsions and drop on the ground and then eventually die. And this was a snake that had the short fangs. If you get the long fangs, you're not shaking it off. But these particular vipers had the short fangs, but they were poisonous and detrimental. So Paul could have said, oh, there's no way, I'm done. That's it. That's over. He just kind of went. Because when he was gathering those sticks, there's writings in the book of Lawrence of Arabia where he talks about some of these snakes in the Middle East. When it's cold in the winter, they stiffen the snakes and they're like a stick. So when you pick up the sticks, it looks like just another stick. And then when you get it near the fire, that snake starts to thaw out and come to. And he put it by the fire and that snake came to and latched onto Paul's arm, but he just calmly shakes it off. There was a missionary, Hudson Taylor, who went to China and a voyage set sail. He neared the channel of the peninsula and the island of Sumatra. The missionary heard an urgent knock on his door. He opened it, and it was the captain of the ship. He says, we have no wind, and we're drifting towards an island where the people are cannibals. So he's basically saying, we're about to be somebody's dinner tonight. And so he comes in fear, and Taylor, the missionary, says, well, what can I do? And he says, I understand you believe in God. Why don't you pray for wind? All right, Captain, I will, but you must set sail. And the captain looked at him and says, well, that's ridiculous. Not even the slightest breeze. He says, but you have to set sail. He says, the sailors are going to think I'm crazy, but you have to set sail. And finally, because the missionary insisted, he did that. And 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionaries. He says, you can stop praying now because we have more wind than we know what to do with. You have to set your sail. In other words, you have to believe God and take a step and an act of faith like Paul did by shaking that snake off in the fire. See, a person that has faith in God believes in the promises of God's Word over their sometimes scary and painful circumstances. How about the promise, I will be with you always? How about the promise, you are seated in the heavenly realms far above all principalities and authorities when the demons assail your life? How about the promise, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus? How about the promise in Hebrews that says, my God is able to save you completely? How about the promise in Philippians where He says, you're saved now. I'm going to put this in paraphrase form. He says, He's going to complete His work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to be faithful to complete the work that He started in you, the work of salvation. Do you believe those promises of God's Word above your circumstances, above your addictions, above what Sandy talked about, her cigarettes? Does she believe the promises of God's Word? She's taken a step of faith. She's wrapped duct tape around that thing as a sign. What are you going to wrap duct tape around today? Duct tape around today. What are you going to wrap duct tape the blah, 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 around? It'll come out eventually. Think about it. What is your action of faith today? What is your shaking off? What is assailing you? What is controlling your life? What is taking over from the inside and keeping you from a strong relationship with God? What is keeping you from yielding to the Holy Spirit? What is it that you need to shake off today? In faith. And believe the promises of God's Word. You know, salvation promises that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. It says, in fact, in Ezekiel, when the Spirit moves inside of us, He will move us to obey God's commandments. So what's keeping you from obeying God's commandments? It's our circumstances. We don't believe in faith the promises of God, and by faith step forward and yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Like that passage we read this morning, the disciples didn't cast out the demon because they weren't. Jesus said it only comes out by praying. So that tells me that they weren't asking God to cast it out. They were trying to do it on their own. Jesus said, all things are possible. I want to encourage you to begin asking God for faith. Because faith doesn't come up from our own selves. We have to ask for it from God. And God grows faith in our life, just like He did Paul. Grows faith on believing these promises. And if I were to ask every single one of you, and I interviewed you and said, do you believe all that's written in the Bible? Most of us in here would say, yeah, I do. But then if I rephrase that question, I said, do you live like you believe everything that's written in your Bible? I'm afraid, including myself, all of us would have to walk back to our seats and say, probably not. But it's that faith that activates the Word of God in our lives and moves us on to transformation when the enemy comes to attack us. See, a person that has faith in God demonstrates the power of the true God over the gods of this world. Notice what their assumptions were. People will assume things when you face trials in life. Oh, she must be in deep sin. Look at what how her life got all messed up, right? Anybody ever seen that and experienced that in church? Oh, look what happened to that brother so-and-so. He must have sinned. Boy, look what, he's getting what's coming to him. But that wasn't the case here for Paul. They assumed that justice, and of course these being pagans, this was the goddess Justice that they were referring to, was going to wipe Paul out because he didn't get wiped out at sea, so now he's going to get wiped out on island because he's a criminal. But he didn't. Those that have faith in God demonstrate the power of the true God. And this is illustrated by a reporter who was a photographer and who was a skydiver. He jumped from a plane along with other skydivers and was snapping photos and video filming the opening of their parachutes, and then the telecast was going, and then all of a sudden you see the picture going berserk. And the announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death because he had jumped out of the plane without his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized he was free falling without a parachute. Up until that time it was exciting. He was shooting and filming all these people, you know, the wind's going like this, and they're falling, and they're doing all kinds of moves and things like that. Nothing can save him, for his faith was in the parachute that he never put on. Faith in anything but God can be tragic spiritually in your life. As these folks are putting faith in pagan deities and gods, Paul put faith in the one true God. He put his parachute on and landed in safety. And as a result, all the men of his ship were also saved. Number four, keep sharing the gospel and believe God for miracles. So in other words, demonstrate your faith by remaining focused on your God-given ministry. There's an animal called an African impala. It can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these creatures can be kept in an enclosed zoo with only a fence, a solid fence of 3 feet. Why? Because they won't jump over something if they cannot see where their feet will fall. And that's how a lot of us are as Christians. God has given us Jesus Christ. He's given us the promise of Scriptures. And the devil puts a measly old 3-foot wall in front of us, and we don't jump because we can't see what's on the other side other than what God has promised in His Word. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things that we can't not see. So Paul does this. Notice how he turns. A person in faith continues to believe in the power of the gospel. So after shaking off this snake, after being in this storm, he goes and ministers healing power to those on the island. Notice he comes to the leader of the island. His dad had this kind of fever, and they discovered what this disease was in 1887. It was on the island of Malta. There were the goats that they had would give this disease to people, and they would be sick for 4 weeks, sometimes endless time, and it was a grave, grave illness. So it was common on the island. Paul laid his hands on them and healed them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it got even better. A person that's faith in God is aware and ready for these opportunities. So then everybody started to bring their people, and he healed every single one of them. Now that's a man of faith. Guys, just let me rest for a while. I just was in a shipwreck. That's what most of us would do as Christians. What if people started lining up your door and they said, I want to know more about Jesus. Can you teach me the Bible? And then it gets midnight, then it gets 1 o'clock, and you're like, I got work tomorrow. I need to get my rest. You know, what about that? But when opportunities come, a person of faith believes God for the miracles that are needed for that moment. I wonder what would happen if someone came up to us on the street. Hey, I read in the Bible, I don't go to church, that Jesus heals people. I'm blind. Could you pray for me to be healed? What would you do in that situation? Should be pray. Do you have faith and belief that if somebody comes hungry for the gospel, that you're going to share Christ with them and have the faith to pray for their healing, or to at least to speak into their life in the way that they need to hear the gospel? I wonder what would happen. I see a person that has faith in God is totally, absolutely surrendered to God. Truly believing in His power to heal. They're filled with the Holy Spirit to minister in power. So that begins our journey from the beginning of Acts to the end. The Holy Spirit came upon the church in power, and they ministered in power. And I want to tell you, we need that power today. And there is a greater power that we can experience in our lives as Christians, and the early church experienced that. And don't get me wrong, when you get saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get, but He doesn't have all of us. And Paul was at a place where he surrendered fully to the Holy Spirit. And there is a moment after you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit that you surrender completely to God. And Ephesians says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an everyday process of surrendering to the power of God. This is something that happened to me when I was, I think, 13 years old. I said, I need this, and I want this. And my mother prayed for me, and it just felt like the power of God just rushed in, and I knew I was called into full-time ministry. It's what happened to D.L. Moody. This old lady came to him when he was preaching, and he wasn't having very many converts. And she said, you need to go on the mountains and pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He did that, and souls started to be saved. Folks, we need something more than just the status quo. We need to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and say, God, come and fill my life and take control. We're living in a dark day. We're living in a dark society. We're living in a dark culture. We surely need the power of the Lord to overcome our addictions, let alone helping other people come to Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Paul grasped this. He says, I believe. I'm surrendered fully to the Lord. There was a man by the name of Fred Craddock, in an address to ministers, he caught the implications of consecration. It's to give my life for Christ appears glorious. To give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others. To pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us that He sends us to the bank and He says, I want you to cash that $1,000 and turn it into quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here, 50 cents there, listening to the neighbor's kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost, going to the committee meeting, giving a cup of water to a shaky old man at a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory, and that's what we want, right? God, I just want all to be one big miracle and I lay it out. But it's be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's 25 cents at a time. It's giving love to somebody. It's being passionate in worship when we don't feel like being passionate in worship. It's being on fire for God even though we're reaching a low valley of our life. And that doesn't mean that we're always emotional either. But we choose to follow Christ and obey Him no matter what. You believe God for a miracle. Folks, I want to challenge you, and I hope that you're going to challenge me back as a pastor. We need the fire of God. We need to start praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need this kind of consecration and dedication to God that Paul has in times like this. You know, as I was sharing with Brother Chad this morning, he was here and ready to go on time for leading worship and playing his guitar, and I said, you know, what if some of your friends come to church? And, you know, we talked about worship on Wednesday night. What if some of your friends come to church and they just see you not even enjoying God or not even having fun? They're not going to want. And I said, didn't I, Chad? I said, they want to watch you burn. If you're on fire for Jesus and you have a passion for worship or for Christ, they're going to come and say, I want what He's got. I want what she's got. But we have to surrender to the Spirit. You have to say, yes, Lord. I'm done with controlling things with my nicely packed religion. I'm done the way things were back in the day with Grandma's church where everything was just all kind of safe and good. But I want to go to Grandma's church. Where people are at the altar repenting and being filled with the Holy Spirit, giving up their vices and being transformed by the gospel. And they couldn't help but tell people around them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's a huge difference. And I want to make this very clear this morning. Please bear with me. There's a huge difference between a person that's saved and has the Holy Spirit and a person that's saved and that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Because a person that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit can't help themselves but share Jesus. Can't help themselves but give up their vices. Can't help themselves but touch people's lives. We need the Spirit's power. We were to go back and read through the Acts again. What was it about? The fire of God, the Spirit, igniting a passion with the gospel to everyone we come in contact with. And look what Paul does at the end of this passage. You know, this is the last thing that we can do to shake it off and trust God to the end, is that we give God the glory, that we're aware of and thankfully enjoy God's provision along the way. See, a person that trusts in God is aware of His blessings around them, even what comes from other people. It says they were blessed. They were honored by these islanders. And they gave them all the supplies they needed on their ship. And then secondly, a person who trusts in God enjoys seeing God fulfill His promise. Even when it's not always as pictured. Now, could you imagine Paul? God says, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to speak to Caesar. And there's going to be all these people. But what had happened when he got there? He was chained to a soldier, was put under house arrest, and people one by one were coming in and he was sharing. It wasn't maybe how he thought it was going to be. It's so grand and glorious. But he realized and gave God the glory for it. And he honored Him. Norman Geisler, he's an apologist, went to a VBS because he was invited by some neighbor kids. He went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. Each week he was faithfully picked up by the bus driver. Week after week, he attended church but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year in high school, after being picked up for church over 400 times, he did commit his life to Christ. What if the bus driver had given up at 395 rides to church? What if the bus driver had said, this kid is going nowhere spiritually. Why waste any more time on him? What if? And Norman Geisler has since written books and become a great apologist and defender of the faith, Paul chose to give God's glory, and he saw the promise of God happen, even though it wasn't the way he might have initially thought, but God's promise did come true. Now in Acts 23:11, remember, God says to Paul, "Take courage, for if you testified about me in Jerusalem, you will testify in Rome." And then in Acts 27, he says, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all who sail with you." And then we come to the end of our text here in chapter 28, verse 14, and we came to Rome. What promises of God that He's giving to you for your life? You need to shake off the doubt and believe. Because it seemed like Paul was not going to make it to Rome, but he did. Because his faith rested in the power of God. And notice what it says when he came in the end of verse 15. He thanked God and took courage. See, a person who trusts God gives him the glory and is constantly thanking Him. And I want you to notice in contrast, did you notice in verse 11 that Luke took the trouble of saying these twin gods were on the front of the boat? They were called Castor and Pollux. They were supposedly twin sons of the god Jupiter. And they believed that he was a good luck charm to save the sailors on seas. Can you see the contrast? They were not saved on the seas because of these gods. They were saved because the one and only true God saved them. And there was one man who had faith in that God. Just think. What God can do with one man or woman who is fully committed to Him and has faith in Jesus Christ. He took confidence. And that word in the Greek, when it says He took courage, it means He took it literally in the figurative form, but literally in His spiritual life, in His hands, and He possessed it as His own. There was a story of a group of people in Kansas who had a long drought. Now, we haven't experienced that here this year. Everything's nice and green and we've had a lot of rain. But they came together to pray for rain because their livelihood depended on it. As they met, they discovered that only one young gal brought an umbrella to the prayer meeting. Why? Because she had faith in God. So what do you need to duct tape today? What do you need to shake off? What umbrella do you need to bring? What is your step of faith today in your life? I want to close this morning with some prayer. And we're going to just have just a moment of quietness before the Lord, just for you to do your own business with God. Father, we come before You and God, first of all, I would be the first to admit that I have such a lack of faith and I need the empowering presence of Your Spirit. Jesus, would You come and build faith among us like we've never seen before? Lord, You said if we ask to give to those that ask, and we know You love to grant faith. So we come now, Lord.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me more.
God, we invite you to come and take control. I pray that you'd bless each person that's here. I pray for faith, like the man did and we read in the Scripture this morning. Help our unbelief, God. Teach us, Lord, how to shake it off. In faith, we all say, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.